Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca.
On Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott. With you, it's Oilers Now. It's 106 in Edmonton. The second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. Hugh Porter and his staff at Digitex wish you and yours all the best during these uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. You can reach us on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. We're going to head off there momentarily, re-engage Mark Spector. You can text us. We are going to get to your text at 120 today on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Ashley Fine Floors providing winning results for over 35 years. We're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob underscore Stauffer, and Brendan at two E's, Escott with two T's. All right, Mark Spector, for the horses and horse racing in Alberta, our province's horse racing and breeding industry has introduced new safety protocols with thorough vet checks, stricter rules, and tougher penalties. Employing Albertans caring for our horses, Horse Racing Alberta. Spec, here we go. By the way, today in Toronto, I'm going to guess they're talking about the lack of toughness that the Leafs had in their lineup last night because Matthew Tkachuk flattened Tavares and got a heavy hit in on William Nylander as well. So, of course, the Leafs didn't have their toughest player, Wayne Simmonds, dressed. They didn't have a couple guys that have gamesmanship, Joe Thornton. I don't always like Jake Muzzin's act. Like, he does some stuff that's a little greasy sometimes, but it's effective in today's NHL, and he's an excellent defenseman. He's got gamesmanship. But they miss a bit. They missed a bit. And Calgary's got a tough team. When Calgary goes to Ottawa, I think it's going to be really interesting because both those teams, if they want to load up with the physicality, can. But here we go, Mark. The Hart Trophy. This is my perspective. I'll make it quick, and then I'm going to give you a window to go. Okay?
All right.
Auston Matthews has an advantage that has not been discussed often, and the advantage is who he plays with. He's playing with Mitch Marner. He is playing. The two best Maple Leafs are playing together on the same line. So they're on a terrific power play, but they're playing together all the time on the same line.
Okay.
And that is going to drive their numbers, and Marner is primarily the playmaker. Matthews is the shooter. And obviously he's got, you know, I think he's got like 18 goals in 19 games a season. Look, the guy's an elite level finisher. Nobody in the league right now, with the possible exception of Ovechkin, can shoot the pill like Matthews can on a consistent basis. But he's got a guy that's his primary playmaker. And it would be akin to the Oilers playing McDavid and Draisaitl together. But they don't. And to me, that's going to make it more challenging for McDavid to fend off Auston Matthews, especially given the fact that right now Toronto's ahead of Edmonton in the standings. What say you, Mr. Speck?
Well, I mean, that's fair. Everything you say is fair. And it's Toronto can play, you know, it's their team. They got Tavares as their second-line center. So it works having Marner there. It's sort of the same way they would have Nuge, I suppose, up, but Marner's a more productive player. I would say this to you, though, Bob, that at the end of the season, right now, Connor McDavid's got 37 points. Auston Matthews has 29. That's an 8-point bulge. Let's say we played a third of the season just for my poor math skills. You know, if it stays this way and McDavid has 24 points more than Auston Matthews when the season's over, I have a hard time thinking that McDavid's not going to beat him in any voting for any trophy, don't you?
Okay, what happens if that? Let's just say the Canadian teams get their 56 games in.
Okay.
touch wood, okay? Let's just say that happens. Let's say Matthews gets 50 and 75, or 50 and 80, and Connor gets...
75, and Connor gets 100.
And Connor gets 30, 95-ish, if he doesn't get to 100.
Okay.
Okay? And Toronto finishes first, and Edmonton finishes somewhere between second to fourth, or fifth.
Right. It's hard to say, right? So there's a lot of elements there. That would be the highest goal-scoring pace in how many years? Like
a long time.
That's akin to a 72-goal season in a normal year. So that's pretty special, for one. Yeah. Maybe it is deserving of the Hart Trophy. The other thing is you helped your team to first place, not second, not third, not fourth, but first place. So, you know what? If he gets 50 goals this year and the Leafs win first place, hell, he might get my vote for Hart Trophy, Bob. Let's face it. That's an incredible season.
This again, you can text us at any time, 780-496-0063. And again, I don't, for the record, I think McDavid's the better player. I think that Matthews is a top, and I've said this repeatedly on the show, a top five player in the world. I think Marner's probably a top 10, a top 15 player in the world. But when those two
Olympic team guys, for sure.
Right. But when those guys play together, it's a huge advantage. Just like, you know, Edmonton needed to split it off as the Oilers developed some more depth. And we, you know, this could actually end up costing the Oilers a bit of money by doing it this way, because if they had Nugent Hopkins centering his own line, it might keep Ryan's numbers down and make it more difficult from a negotiation perspective. But for the betterment of the team, it's better if Ryan's on the wing. Now, the thing I'll say about Marner is he kills penalties. The Oilers are trying to stop McDavid from killing penalties. That's something that got lost last year. You know, Leon Draisaitl was the only guy I could think of that was top 10 in the league in scoring last year that 3 versus 5 was on the ice, 2 men down on a PK because of his face-off abilities and, you know, how good of a player he is. I think McDavid's the better player. I think McDavid's going to get challenged here significantly because Marner is a better, with all due respect to RNH and Puljujärvi, Marner's a better player than, I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins hasn't had a 70-point season. Marner's had a 90-point season in the NHL, and he's a heck of a playmaker. And so that gives them a bit of an advantage. And, you know, Toronto has got a 6-point lead on the Oilers right now. I think Toronto's got a pretty good team. We'll see what happens in goal here, Spec, because they got a little bit unlucky with what worked, you know, what happened to Jack Campbell with the injury and then losing Dell on waivers. Maybe the Oilers can reel them in, and some will say, Stauffer, you got the 3D beer goggles on, thinking Edmonton can reel in Toronto. Time will tell.
No. We're only 20 games in the season, Bob, and they're 6 points behind, and they got 3 games to play against each other next week here. So there's no, I wouldn't be giving up on that yet. Why would you?
So do you think McDavid's a better player than Marner? Or, sorry, better player than Matthews?
Yeah. Yes, I think he's a better player than Matthews. I think that Matthews is a better goal scorer because he's probably the best goal scorer in the league right now. What we're talking about here, though, is, you know, I'm going to put on my Dave Tippett impression here. The Oilers are doing what they're doing because they want to win. Right? I know we're on a radio show and we're talking about awards, and I get it. I'm all for it.
I want the spec. I want the wins, too.
Who cares about the trophies is my point. Like, I want to say to you, Bob, if none of the Oilers ever win another Hart Trophy and they start winning Stanley Cups, I think that's a pretty good trade to make. I don't think that Toronto has a deep enough team to do it in the playoffs. They got a hell of a first line, and then it falls off for me. The Oilers have the best 1-2 punch up the middle in the league, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is doing what he does, and you know, I'd like to see maybe a little bit more on left wing for Draisaitl, but whatever. To me, this whole conversation is about the Oilers positioning themselves to try to win cups, and at this moment, the Leafs positioning themselves to try to score 6 a day in the regular season. And I've watched the Leafs do that for years now. I want to see them do something right in the playoffs.
Some might argue they just played the wrong teams. They played Washington and Boston. Those were two pretty good teams.
For how many years in a row have they played the wrong team, Bob? When are you going to be the right team yourself?
Yeah, and they got to become that right team. It's intriguing to see where this. Put it this way, I'm not a guy that likes to play market against market. Like, I don't think Calgary sucks. We used to work with Jake Daniels. That was his shtick. I'm not big on that. In fact, to be honest with you, in a normal season, when there's a Pacific division, I'd way rather see the fans in Calgary and Vancouver join the Oilers in the playoffs? Because at least I know the people in Calgary and Vancouver, it's water cooler topic every day in those markets. And with all due respect to San Jose and to Anaheim, really? I mean, come on. Beyond the 18,000, the Shark Tank's loud. It's got great acoustics, but nobody outside of that building cares about that team during, at any other time. And in Anaheim, there's 4,000 Oilers fans going there, taking their kids to Disneyland to help prop up the crowd. LA's got a strong fan base. There's no question the Kings do, but it's still, you know, in the 3-4 hole, depending upon how USC football is doing in the fall in terms of where its relative importance is. And the Lakers will always be a way bigger deal. Again, you can text us. Now I'm hearing that Baron Lagesson are out way late. Okay, so we'll see if it might be Bouchard and Jones for tonight's game. We'll have to wait and see on that front. Again, Bear would need to come off of IR in order to be activated. So this text comes in saying all McDavid did was get crapped on when Draisaitl was his line mate. Why should it be any different with Matthews and Marner? My point is that Matthews has an advantage because he's playing with Marner, and Marner's a great playmaker. And I mean, if you look at what Connor's done this year, if you're listening to a show called Oilers Now, you're watching the games. I think we all know what we're watching, Spec. We're watching a guy at like 58% Corsi, 59% Fenwick, greater than 60% of the A-grade scoring opportunities when he's on the ice. This is the best. He's got 1.85 points per game. This is the best he has ever played. And one of his line mates is just starting to heat up right now. That's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they're breaking in a guy on right wing who, as happy as we've all been with the way Puljujarvi's playing, he's a total work in progress here. This isn't a finished, you know, who's playing up with, isn't Hyman generally playing up with Matthews and Marner?
That's what Babcock used to do in the past. They've kind of moved guys around. They've had Thornton. When Thornton came back from the injury,
Thornton's been there this year. Okay. All of those guys are you know, veteran guys that know what they're doing a lot more than Puljujärvi. Puljujärvi's going to be great and all that stuff, but over the first 20 games, he's been learning.
Did you just say that? Did you just say that?
Hey, listen, whatever. But through the first 20 games, I'm going to say that McDavid's been helping Puljujärvi get a seat on the ground here. So,
three weeks ago, you better start doing something, or I don't know about this guy. 3 weeks later, Puljujärvi's going to be great.
First line might be too much for him, and it turns out he proved me wrong. But at the time, he was looking like it was too much for him, and that's fine. I turned out to be wrong. I can live with that. You can't ever accuse me of saying I said Puljujärvi would never play, because you'd have to find that quote, Bob. I've never said it.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
It's fun. It's fun, Mark. You got to admit, it's kind of fun.
Sure.
I don't know if Puljujärvi is going to be great. I can't believe how far he's come along already this year.
He's looking like he's going to be a nice, nice player.
I thought maybe he could be like Joel Armia. Well, he's going to be better than Joel Armia. I think we can agree on that now. So, interesting stuff. All right.
I always thought he has the same body type, the same stride, the same look as Rantanen in Colorado. I don't know if he'll ever be as good as Rantanen in Colorado, but he's a Finnish guy with the exact same tools, and I always thought, man, if he turned into Rantanen, how great would that be for the Oilers?
What about a guy like Wheeler?
Oh, sure. How good a player is Wheeler? Wheeler's more of a passer. Will Puljujärvi be that guy? I don't know.
Not on a team that's got McDavid and Draisaitl. You know what I'm saying?
He's what you want is a shooter on McDavid's right side anyhow, and I think that's where he's trending towards being a shooter. That'd be great.
Mark, it's the caliber of the goals that he's scoring, though. You know what I mean? Like,
the one in Calgary.
The one in Calgary was off the charts. Well, he's had two in Calgary. But the one on the give and goes with Connor, those are the ones that the fans should be excited about, because he wasn't making those plays when he was here before.
No.
And it's good. It's good, Spec.
He wasn't ready for it. He wasn't in the spot to take the pass. He wasn't in an open spot. Now he's getting the puck in a place where he can shoot it. And I think the thing that I'm seeing in him is he gets the puck back, and he doesn't take two strides and then shoot. He'll shoot from distance. Like, he doesn't mind shooting from further out. He's got a cannon.
Yeah.
And I think that surprises goalies, right? All of a sudden, the puck's coming, and it's coming hard.
All right, great stuff, Spec. Hang on the line with us.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Our inspector for the horses and horse racing, Alberta. We'll come back with a couple texts, get your thoughts, and weave Mark back in on Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Zach Cassian from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Tourist skated with some injured guys. He got injured in practice last Friday in Calgary and was off the ice a couple days, and he skated with some with the injury guys this morning, and then Neil was just off the ice today.
That was yesterday. Neil did not make the trip. Tourist did skate this morning. We're just waiting for a little bit more clarity. Dave Tippett did an availability before. Was obviously an optional if he's doing the availability before the optional takes place. Do you want to tell you that there's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than what task win, but outstanding customer service is a key to business as well. Brent Ridgeford is a 9-time President's Award winner for customer satisfaction. What does that mean? Why do they get it? Well, President Awards winner comes in concert at Brent Ridgeford because of the way they treat people. They treat people fairly in terms of purchasing vehicles, charge fairly for add-ons like extended warranties, insurance coverage, and financing fees. Most importantly, Brent Ridgeford has one of the best service departments in the province. You can reach out to Margie or Mike or Kevin, and they'll make sure that you and your vehicle are looked after. You can reach Brent Ridgeford. They'll lend you a hand at 1-877-477-3673 or visit BrentRidge.com. I've heard that voice from the Friesen Brothers ad somewhere. I'm just trying to, I could swear it was, yeah. Anyhow, hey, Spect, I got a total curveball for you.
Let's have it.
All right, you ready for it? Can you name
it? I can hit the curveball, baby.
You can't hit the curveball.
Hit the curveball.
We have a guy who could become a really could theoretically become a really famous Oilers fan. Did you know that?
Famous Oilers fan.
Yes, he's had some of the biggest jobs in the world.
Okay.
And there's some people believe that he may end up in politics here sometime in the next 18 to 24 months.
Mark Carney.
Bingo. Did you know he was that big of an Oilers fan?
I grew up with Mark Carney.
What?
Didn't you know this story?
I did not. You got to tell me the story.
I lived on 139th Street in Laurier Heights. I am in the exact same age as Mark Carney. He was in the same grade at St. Rose Elementary. I was at Laurier Heights, and he was the goalie on our team growing up. I used to walk down I used to meet him on his driveway after school and shoot tennis balls at him when we were kids. So I've known Mark Carney since literally grade, two, I think. Don't know him real well now. He's gone on to be the governor of the Bank of Canada, the equal, whatever you call the guy in England.
The governor of the Bank of England.
Okay, whatever. He kind of left us little guys behind, but you know what? I texted with him a few times over the years. He's still the same Edmonton kid. And
There are some whispers out there, Spec, that the Liberals might be targeting him as a potential long-term option to replace Justin Trudeau.
Well, that'd be awesome, eh? He's a goalie, so at least he knows something about Canadian hockey culture. He played, Bob, where did he go to school, Harvard?
He was at Harvard with Peter Chiarelli. He was Peter Chiarelli's best man.
Yes, they were in each other's wedding parties. That's correct. He was like the goalie, what do they call it, the JV team or the second team or something?
Yeah.
He was a goalie on like the second team at Harvard. They called him up when someone got injured. He never really got to play first string on the top team. But anyway, there's a kid that grew up on the outdoor rink at Laurier Heights I'll tell you what, Bob, when you lived in Laurier Heights, did you not?
Yeah, but we moved in late. Like, we moved in when I was in, like, grade 12. So
my point is, if they ever put a sign up at the entry to Laurier Heights, it sure as hell wouldn't be the neighborhood that gave you Bob Stauffer or Mark Spector. It would be Mark Kearney.
Yeah, we're a little bit further down the food chain on that. Glenn says, Mark might be able to hit the curveball, but he threw me about 10 curveballs that went out of the park. That one comes to us from Glenn. Fletch out of Calgary says, Connor McDavid has won the Art Ross Trophy twice, the Hart Memorial, and the Ted Lindsay Award twice. What has Matthews won? Question mark. Well, that would be the Calder Trophy. Okay, come on. Sarah, did we just get this text? I like what Nurse is doing, finally, but what is it going to take to re-sign him? And what is Seattle willing to give Holland to expose him? He could easily be the face of the franchise in Seattle. The Oilers are not. I mean, we're seeing Darnell Nurse mature into a defenseman that everybody was hoping for, and you want to offer him up? I mean, hey, he's going to get paid in his next deal. He's at $5.6 million this year, $5.6 million the year after. He's going to likely be $6.5 to $7.5 million in the next. The guy plays 25 minutes a game. Like, come on.
Let me add, Bob, that, and we've talked about this long before he got so hot like he is right now, he's a major piece here in the Oilers dressing room and in their quest, as we just talked about in the last hour, to have to build the right culture and leadership group and have the right dressing room that they haven't had for 25 years. I mean, literally since Lowe and Messier left for the Rangers, they've been fighting to get this back. And Darnell Nurse is a pillar in that process, in that project. To me, when you're the Edmonton Oilers, he's playing great. But you sign this guy, you keep him here long term, and they're going to look back on him in Edmonton in, what is he, 25 right now? 26? I think he's 26, right? 10 years from now, they're going to look back on him in Edmonton and talk about him like they talk about Zdeno Chara in Boston. So you're not moving Darnell Nurse. That's ridiculous.
Spec, these are words you thought you were not going to hear today, and you're not going to hear them from me, but you're going to hear them from a texter. Oh, boy, I agree with Spec. Again, that never ends well for Brandy and Brooks. Hey, we'll squeeze you in on Friday, okay? Does that work for you?
Sounds good, Bobby. Looking forward to the back-to-backs here.
All right, that is Mark Spector, Sportsnet Spec. It is 1:28 in Edmonton. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back, out of Vancouver, former NHL goaltender, current radio analyst Corey Hirsch. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.